please, dear God, even if you're a Giants fan, don't draft Eli Manning. There's plenty of other Giants to go draft.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
Yeah! So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Trek, and I am joined by the one and the only, the D-O-N himself, Don Chrisman. Don, what is up?
Hey, Don.
There it is. The DLN speaks. How you doing? How you doing, Don?
How you doing? I'm doing good, man. Is this year 4 or 5 for us, by the way? I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, year 5.
Wow, that's crazy. Year 5. So it's year 5, and I finally decided to get a mic. I can't promise you the connection will still be good because I'm always the one that's ruining it, but hopefully I sound a little bit better and you can hear my deep breaths a little bit more.
There it is. Nice deep breaths. You know the DLN is here, and even when he's silent, just listen for the air gasps in the background.
Yes, the very overweight deep gasping of myself.
We know that Don is here, but we're excited, Don. We're here and we're going to talk some NFC East. We're going to start off with the Cowboys and the Giants in this episode. But before we dive in, Don, we want to give a shout out to Auction Draft. Auction Draft is the best site for running your fantasy football auction league in 2018. You can sign up now at letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. Guys, when you get there, use the promo code LTFF for 50% off your league in 2018. James has hooked it up. We want you guys to try the platform out. And if you're not quite sure if you're ready to move your league there yet, we get it. It's a new platform. We want you to see what it's all about. We're actually going to be doing our first draft here from Let's Talk Fantasy Football today, Sunday, August 5th, on the platform. So you're going to hear a breakdown of that coming out this week. But we'd also encourage you guys to sign up for our listener leagues on Auction Draft. James has been kind enough to agree. He's going to give away a signed Antonio Brown jersey to a random player in the league. Good news is you don't need to win. You don't need to be good at Auction Draft football. It helps. But if you're not good, that's okay. You can still win the jersey. So drop us a message on Instagram, Facebook, email, on the website. If you want into the league, we will get you in, and an Antonio Brown jersey, signed one, awaits one of you lucky guys. Good news is the DON loves auction drafting, but he can't win the jersey. So you're already one up, and he's disappointed, but we'll see if we can get him a little something.
Yeah. I kind of want that jersey, but shit, dude, not 5, 10, or 25. We're now 50% with these guys.
50%, man. James doesn't mess around. He knows we're the real deal, and we want everyone to truly get the best experience here on Auction Draft.
Talk about, instead of, you know, obviously the headlines this week is the Big Dick Decker. Talk about BDP, Big Dick Podcast. We're holding down 50% here. You got to sign up at that point.
Absolutely, guys. Auction Draft, give it a shot. Your league is going to love it. We have no doubt. And we can't wait for you guys to hear us break down the software this week on the podcast. It's fantasy football season, guys. It's August 5th. You should be mocking. If you're not, get fucking mocking. It is time to rock and roll. Don, are you ready to talk Cowboys?
Not really ever, but yeah, I'm ready.
But we'll start Cowboys. The enthusiasm was a little less than we were hoping for, but we'll take it. You know, big note coming off the top, guys, on the Cowboys. Team loses Dez, Witten, a bunch of other people here, but two of the biggest names. So we'll dive into some of that fallout, but let's start at the QB position as we always do, Don. Dak Prescott, he's coming off the board as QB 26, fourth pick in the 14th round. That's coming courtesy of Fantasy Football Calculator, PPR leagues, guys, as always.
QB 26?
I have him as QB 26. Did I mess that up?
I got him as QB 20.
I could be wrong. We got our first real debate here on the podcast, and it's just because of
And you're on Fantasy Football Calculator, right?
I am. fantasyfootballcalculator.com/ADP. Yeah. Are you in 12 team, 10 team?
I'm in 12 team, 2018 PPR. QB. I got 20.
Oof. All right, let's see. I could be
you want to hit refresh real quick? Hit refresh. Starting off hot here.
Yeah, you're right. 20. I can't count. That's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, they only list 25.
Yeah, that's 26 is definitely not true.
What were you hitting?
I don't know, man. I was having a couple of drinks before the podcast, some White Claws right there.
How you doing?
How you doing? There we go. So QB 20, I'm sorry. Fourth pick in the 14th round. That is correct. Is that right, Don? Nope. Eighth pick in the 13th round.
Eighth pick, 13th round.
All right. Well, my ADPs are going to be off all day, I have a feeling. But regardless, let's talk Dak Prescott. He loses Dez Witten. He's going to be looking at new receivers, new tight ends. You know, Dez and Witten combined on, they comprise 41% of Prescott's career pass attempts.
Wow.
So it's a new year for Dak Prescott, a new team, essentially. He's lost 40% of that kind of safety net. You know, what do you think about his price, his ADP, all the movement there for Dak for 2018?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's fair. Dak did use a lot of safe receivers such as Witten, and then, you know, rookie year was Cole Beasley. He was more of a safer quarterback. But there's a lot of wealth for quarterback this year, which leaves Dak at 20, which, I mean, give or take, you know, if you want to move him a spot or not. But, I mean, you got Alex Smith, which we'll actually hit later, who was, I think, finishing top four or five, depending on what league you were in last year. And he's number 18 this year.
Yep.
So, you know, you got Derek Carr, that's number 19. He's a big name. Mariota at 17. So it's just a lot of wealth for quarterbacks this year. And you got a lot of uncertainty with Dallas, which we'll go through once we hit all the positions. But he loses Witten. He lost Dez. You just added Allen Hurns, which you don't really know what he's going to do as a primary receiver this year. You got a rookie wide receiver and a tight end you've never really seen. So what can you really expect other than that he does have a good offensive line?
Yeah, I agree. The position is super, super deep. And it's one of the weird things where, you know, trying to like, I'm going to throw some stats out there that almost I'm going to bat for Dak. And I don't know that it even matters because of, again, the position and the depth kind of, you hit on. I mean, last year when Tyrone Smith on the offensive line there was healthy, he missed four games last year. When he was healthy, Dak averaged 19.9 fantasy points per game per Fantasy Football Focus. And then when Zeke missed six games, which we all know he did with the suspension without Zeke, he only averaged 13.8 fantasy points per game. With Zeke, 19.6. So, you know, he's averaging almost 20 points a game with Zeke over his 2-year career here with Zeke. You know, so I think it's very interesting with health. We know as of now, there's no suspension. There's no rumor of anything against Zeke. You know, again, he's got those new targets, but with a healthy offensive line and specifically Tyrone Smith, he's played really well. So I think if you ended up with Dak, like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, you know, you look at the ADPs and it may seem scary to be like, yo, my starting QB is Dak Prescott. But, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world to me, because I think then you still play matchups, you do Walsh's thing and stream QBs. But, you know, based on those stats, I don't really have a problem with Dak Prescott. He's priced well, and I think he has really good upside. I'm just not going out of my way to get him.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Now that you pointed out that, you know, Zeke really does make a big difference, obviously not as much anyone else other than that. Zeke's back, which is good news. Dak Prescott, listen, you're at the point where he's the 20th quarterback. So even if you're in a 12-team league, he's your a bench quarterback that you'd be drafting, unless you're in a 2QB league. With what Shrek just displayed for you, if you're in a 2QB league, maybe Dak Prescott's going to be a really good QB2 for you.
Yeah, then I'm happy to have Dak, especially in a QB2 league, because I think you can still get him at a late price, and you're still going to get that production, assuming health, which we have to assume everywhere because we never know who the heck's going to stay healthy and who's not, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think the QB position is probably one of the wealthier years this year for them.
Yes.
I mean, you got, even in the deep 20s, like Case Keenum's 23. He's got some, you know, people around him in Denver where if I had to stream a Case Keenum for a week, I don't even think I'd be that troubled about it. So, and that's at the 23rd quarterback off the board. So,
yeah, I mean, we've talked
about league you're in. I think between the streaming route or a 2QB route, I don't think you have to panic going, first for, you know, a Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. That's our whole podcast scheme. Yes. So, but this year, especially, there's just so much to look for.
Yeah, 100%. We've always preached to wait on QB. We couldn't be more adamant about that this year, just looking at the depth charts and ADPs and everything else. Fun fact, before we move on to the running backs, Don, on Dak, he had a passer rating of 74.8 when targeting Dez Bryant last year. When he wasn't targeting Dez, he had a passer rating of 101. So I think that's interesting. Again, losing Dez stinks, but I think it's going to be interesting. We'll see how it plays out with the new wide receivers. But let's jump over to the running backs. On Zeke coming off the board, running back 3, average ADP of 104. Again, we've talked about that top four in the past. It's who you like, you know, you start who you're going to take, how they fall in that top four rating. It's your nitpicking. I'm cool with his ADP. It's just preference at the top of the draft there.
Yeah, it's a lot of preference. I think Todd Gurley and Lev Bell should be solidified as 1-2. I've also seen with Zeke, so we were supposed to do this podcast a little while ago, but scheduling got ahead of us, where Zeke actually was fourth behind David Johnson. So David Johnson's been flipping around before yep. Zeke and after him. That's very preference wise. I think people have kind of fallen off Zeke, where Saquon Barkley's actually been taking a lot. I've been doing a lot of sleeper bot mocks too. Mm-hmm. And almost every single sleeper bot mock I've done, Saquon's gone ahead of him. So I want to go to that stretch. I still think Zeke is 3 or 4. Don't forget, I mean, this guy was a monster before he got suspended in every game. So
yeah, and he's going to be a monster again this year behind the healthy offensive line.
They're going to lean on him a lot too.
100%. So. We're going to talk about Saquon. I mean, you know, Walsh was on the other podcast, talked about how David Johnson, if he's sitting at 3, or, you know, he puts David Johnson as his number 3. You know,
and that's fine. I'm fine with either way. I'm not going to say Zeke's.
No, of course
not number 3. I think that's a very preference wise, but either way, these guys are a flip of a coin. If you go Zeke 3, I think that's a great pick still.
100% totally on board. You know, are you interested in any of the backs behind Zeke? I mean, because minus him being, you know, some random suspension or him getting hurt and missing, you know, even when he was out, we didn't see that necessarily consistency that everyone thought as we scrambled to pick up backs off the wire. Is there someone that you really care about here to handcuff, or are you just, you're not playing that?
You know, it's funny. I thought about this when I was looking at specifically the running back position for Dallas. This year seems to be like, or maybe the past 2 years, really hasn't been too much of handcuff drafting strategy. I haven't seen much of as much as probably the previous years. This year is going to be an interesting year for running back. I think the wealth is quarterback and wide receiver, other than the first two rounds of running back. But no, I don't think it's time yet for to cuff Zeke. Zeke doesn't really have, knock on wood, an injury problem yet in the NFL. And he's going to be their cowbell if he doesn't get suspended or hurt. So a Rod Smith or a Bo Scarborough or Trey Williams is not something I'm trying to take a late round pick on. I'm probably going to go somewhere else, and we'll see what the year takes us.
I'm with you. I'm not playing the handcuff game, particularly with Zeke. He's not one of those guys, at least so far there's no indication that he's always hurt or always missing time. Like a la Jordan Reed, which we will hit in this part 2 of the podcast. There it is. So I agree. We'll move on down. Let's talk wide receivers. And this is where the team looks very, very different than it did a year ago.
Very different.
You know, no Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten, no Bryce Butler. Those three wide receivers, Don, leaving. They leave behind 229 targets available. So that's like a whole new offense. And again, trying to predict where these targets are going to go. Take a dartboard, throw some names up there, and toss some darts. You know, we can take our best guess. And let's start with Allen Hurns.
Yeah.
Coming off the board. You tell me where you have him coming off the board, Don, because I clearly messed my ADPs up before.
Yeah, and Allen Hurns is the 43rd receiver off. He's at the very, very end. If you're, and we're, again, we look at 12 team PPR off fantasy football calculator, he's 9.11. So he is the butt ass end of the round 9. He is currently behind Robbie Anderson, Jordy Nelson, and Marquise Goodwin. And he's just ahead of like a Sterling Shepard, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, and Nelson Aguilar. This is where it gets interesting in this section here. I think the people behind him should be, because those are more questionable guys that are either first year guys or Nelson Aguilar. We're actually going to hit Nelson Aguilar and Sterling Shepard.
Yep.
So I won't go into that too much, because I'd like to go into both those guys in this podcast. But I mean, he's going right behind a Robbie Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Marquise Goodwin. I'd probably take those three right before him, but I like Allen Hurns, man. I mean, he's done some good things in Jacksonville. And he was always a wide receiver too. So now he's going to be the main guy. Now, let's go back to, you know, the stats that you went with Dak. He's more of a safe quarterback. He likes to hit his tight ends, or he likes to hit his slot receivers. Allen Hurns is going to be that Dez Bryant kind of role, where he might be taking some more deep balls or whatnot. So That's where Dak kind of his percentages drop a little bit. But I think Allen Hurns deserves where he is here. And I think if those guys are gone, Robbie Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Marquise Goodwin, Allen Hurns is the next best wide receiver to go. So I think where he is where he should land.
Yeah, I don't have anything to argue against that. I mean, when you look at 200 and we'll call it 230 targets, you know, out there and available. I mean, at the third pick, or I'm sorry, the 11th, was the 11th pick in the ninth round, you know, what you have nothing but upside here. You know, I mean, you're looking at the number of targets he can and will likely see with Dak Prescott there. You know, and it's opportunity. I mean, again, we're going to talk about Cole Beasley, Michael Gallup, Terrence Williams, et cetera. But, you know, I think he's priced right. And we'll talk about the guys around him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he played well in Jacksonville. I think as long as he stays healthy, he'll be fine here.
Yeah. Before we go into more about, you know, because I really would like to have that conversation with Sterling Shepard, Nelson Aguilar. But what I will say is Sterling Shepard is in a crowded offense and he's the wide receiver two or maybe three once, you know, when you consider Evan Ingram. Nelson Aguilar is TD dependent and he's still wide receiver two or maybe three in Philly. And then you got DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley who are rookies. Allen Hurns is going to be the number one receiver.
Yes, I think he will be, and as long as he produces, he'll keep it. I think Michael
Gallup slotted to be the number one receiver.
Yes, he is slotted to. And I think as long as he stays healthy and does perform, he will be. I think Gallup is interesting, but we'll talk about him in a minute. Cole Beasley, Don, wide receiver. I have him as wide receiver 52. I don't know if I have his ADP right though.
I have Beasley undrafted.
Yep, I was pulling him in different leagues then. So Beasley's undrafted. I'm just going to stop throwing ADPs out there.
Beasley's undrafted. Listen, man, maybe a mid to end midseason flyer, a waiver play, because he does have a little bit of rapport with Dak. But, man, to begin the season, you're not drafting Cole Beasley.
Beasley's the guy who he lacks the, like, crazy upside. You know, I think you just look at – you can look at the disparity. He finished in 2016, Don, he finished number 32 among wide receivers in fantasy points. Last year, he finished 73rd. So he is the definition of all over the board. You don't know, you know, what his full upside is, how these targets are going to go. I'm not, you know, if you believe in Cole Beasley and you think he's going to be the guy that has all this upside here, no. Whatever. He costs you nothing.
No.
But
don't draft him.
I don't, you know.
Unless you're in like a 14-team league or something, there's no reason that you need to draft him. There's a lot of wealth in the wide receiver range. And to be honest with the way it works with running backs, is if you want to go with a late round flyer on a running back to hope something works out, Cole Beasley is not something that you want to waste a pick at the end of the draft with.
I'd rather take, and I will, Michael Gallup, who's, oh, I believe, also coming off undrafted.
No.
See, this is where my ADPs are all fucked up. Where is he?
Right now, Michael Gallup is the fifth pick in the 13th round. He's already seeing first-round reps in the camp. He's going right behind Geronimo Allison, Kenny Galladay, Anthony Miller, and he's already ahead of Tyler Lockett, Danny Amendola, and Dede Westbrook, which those guys have some value too, especially Dede Westbrook. So, and he's going to get ahead of them already. So Michael Gallup, they're having a lot of talks about with him, and they seem to be very optimistic with Michael Gallup. So he's someone that I would take way before I would take any of the other receivers there.
Yep, I agree. You know, and word out of from after minicamp said that Gallup looked like the unofficial winner from minicamp after developing a strong rapport with Dak Prescott. So again, as I think, you know, everybody's almost new to this offense here with Dak. Dak seems to be building a connection here. Again, you know, rookies and how they all fit. I expect Gallup to be worth his ADP on draft day, at least as he stands now.
Yeah, interesting. Where he lands. I mean, obviously you got to watch him play, watch preseason, see how that works. Follow closely to the reports. Check out your fantasy sites. Cause I don't know too much about him, but they really like him so far. He's already going against, like I said, like someone like a Dede Westbrook. That's someone where he's actually got some high expectations in Jacksonville this year. And a Danny Amendola will be a plug and play in Miami, and Tyler Lockett's, you know, with the way Seattle is, Tyler Lockett has a lot of value actually to play too.
Yep.
So, and he's already going ahead of these guys, and we really don't know too much. So definitely follow closely. He's the only other receiver other than Allen Hurns that I have any fantasy value at this point.
Yep, I agree. Terrence Williams, the staff really just likes his downfield blocking. No fancy relevance. And then Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown are fighting for roster spots. So
is Tavon Austin's on the team, right? He's still on the team or something. I don't know. Who cares?
Is Tavon even in the league?
He's on Dallas.
No, I don't think Tavon plays football anymore.
Okay.
Vinny is yelling at us as he's listening to this part of the podcast. Because we're bashing his boy Tavon. All right, tight end. I don't know how to say his last name. Blake Jarwin and Jeff Swaim.
Next.
Spin the wheel. Just spin the wheel. No thanks. And I think that's it on Dallas. I think it's a lot of question marks. We talked about Dak. Zeke is Zeke. He doesn't require a ton of diving into. And then the rest is, do you believe in Michael Gallup? Do you believe in Allen Hurns? And that's really it.
It's funny. What I put in my notes is I italicized. Seems like a lot of uncertainty.
You nailed it, Don.
So who knows, man? Maybe a lot of these guys will end up being fantasy relevant. It's a lot of new, you know? You lose a lot of the longtime Dallas greats, and now you have a lot of new. It's all a very new team. So I don't really know what to tell you, man. I'm not on the field watching them play yet. Or I'm never going to be on the field to watch them play, but I haven't seen them play, and I don't know too much, but, you know, all of what I've read, and go from there.
Basically, Don, trust the gut. That's what I'm.
It's always about the gut. Fuck the statistics, man. It's just how you're feeling that day.
Trust the gut. So, guys,
never go off of what you dream about the night before, because that shit's bullshit. That's a lie.
Dreams do not work out. Don is a living example.
No such thing as a dream being a premonition, because that shit's bullshit.
And with that, guys, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear from Auction Draft, and we'll be back to talk about the Giants.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
Now, letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auctiondraft. Use the code LTFF and get 50% off your 2018 season. Your league is going to love it. If you're just individual looking to get into auction drafting, you can join a Let's Talk Fantasy Football League over there for free. You play for free and you get a free entry to win a signed Antonio Brown jersey. You can even lose to the Don and still win the jersey. But Don, let's talk about some New York Giants. I got some general notes here. OBJ is back healthy. Shepard's back. They obviously add Saquon, and there's no McAdoo, which I think might be the biggest win of them all.
Yeah.
For the Giants in 2018. And we'll start with QB Eli Manning, threw for 6.1 yards, per average in 2017. It was his lowest since his rookie year in 2004. He gets his weapons back. Things are healthy. But I'm just personally not. I don't have any interest in Eli Manning as a fantasy QB.
I'm gonna make a transitional play here for you.
Okay.
Real quick. I agree with Eli Manning. I mean, through the years, Eli Manning's never really been a fantasy stud at all or really that playable. So don't be playing Eli. But I want to transition into, and I'm really flipping on how I felt earlier in the season. I'm fully bought in on Saquon Barkley, which I've said I'm bought in and I think is stud, but I was worried about this season. Fuck that. This year, part of LTFF is fully endorsing on a rookie running back, Saquon Barkley, and I think he's going to change a whole dynamic for the offense and make Eli Manning serviceable, not really fantasy-wise, but in general for the rest of your fantasy players, such as Odell, Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard. So I think Saquon Barkley is really going to open that offense a lot and is going to make everyone else serviceable. So Eli Manning, I wouldn't say go draft. I think he should be QB 21. There's a lot of wealth for quarterbacks. Please, dear God, even if you're a Giants fan, don't draft Eli Manning. There's plenty of other Giants to go draft.
I'm
going to open up for them.
I completely agree with you. He will be serviceable for the team and make them fantasy relevant.
He's going to have a much better year than last year, yes, and the year before.
Yep. I mean, look, you know, he had the injuries, everything else decimated. So fine. But he will make everyone else fantasy relevant. And I think we can move on from Eli. I think we can go right into the running back situation, Don. And, you know, as you said, Saquon Barkley, we typically stay away from the rookie running back. We've been burned in the past. And it seems like we have finally gotten on board, albeit a little late. You know, good news here outside of just Saquon, they hired a general manager who is reinventing the offense as a run-based unit. He drafted a running back second overall, Saquon, took a big guard in round two and paid Nate Solder a ton of money for that offensive line. Mm-hmm. They clearly want to see it work. They know what they have in Saquon Barkley, who's coming off a prolific career at Penn State. He will be the three down back and is a great fit for Pat Shurmur's offense there with the upgraded offensive line. He's going to have a really, really nice year. I was very unsure, as you were early on, about do I really want to fully back this? And, you know, he's priced right. He's going seventh pick overall. He's running back number six.
Yeah.
Right after Alvin Kamara and right before your boy Melvin Gordon. He's priced about right. Again, it's preference. There are going to be guys in your league who are like, I don't want him, and he may fall. Or there may be someone who loves him and will jump a few spots and take him. You know, you talked about seeing it in sleeper bot drafts, or mocks, excuse me, where he's going before Zeke and some of these other guys. And look, it's not something I'm going to say that I necessarily condone. But we've always preached, if you want your guy, go get your guy. And if that's what it has to be, then so be it. I don't agree with it, but get your guy if you want him. It's your team.
Yeah. I hate saying too. I notice I say a lot. I'm an ummer. I'm sorry, guys. Just don't count because it'll make you not want to listen to me. Saquon Barkley, I'm fully bought in. It's going to be the Zeke effect for New York Giants. So like I said, where it's going to make Eli serviceable, everyone's going to go up in numbers. Like look how Dak was with and without Zeke. It's going to be the same thing with Saquon, where defenses now, they have to watch out for Saquon Barkley as a rusher and as a pass threat, which is going to open up the receivers and everyone else. But he is built way better than Zeke. He's going to have, barring injury, a better career than Zeke. This guy is like he's a freak. He is a freak. So I really like Saquon Barkley a lot. He just got paid. He is a rookie, and he's the highest paid running back for this year, which is crazy too. I like him over Alvin Kamara. He'd probably be my number five running back overall, and I actually probably take him over AB or DeAndre Hopkins. So he's my fifth overall personnel. I think he's going to be really big. I like Saquon Barkley, and I think he's going to have a great year.
All right, Don. Again, hey, like we said, if he's your guy and you like him, go fucking get him.
Yeah, listen, don't reach for him. Like if you're like the third or second pick and you're a Giants fan or you're like, I really like Saquon. No, dude, still go for like Lev Bell or Zeke. But overall, Saquon Barkley, I think, is going to have a better career than Zeke. And he is a beast, man. But he's still a rookie. See how it works. I put him at five, and that's where I comfortably would leave him.
Fair enough. Behind him, Jonathan Stewart, who I can't find the exact quote, but it was pretty much something like, Jonathan Stewart pretty much looks like he's there just to be there.
I have the quote.
Oh.
If you grabbed it off of RotoWorld, he looks more like a plotting veteran running back trying to hang on.
There it is.
From NJ Advanced Media's Matt Lombardo, he wrote.
There you go. More eloquently stated than from here. But
he sounds draftable.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Stewart has no fantasy value as far as I'm concerned.
No. He's going undrafted already. He'll probably get overtaken by Wayne Gallman for the second RB.
Yep. And only a matter of time. All right, Don, on to the receiving options. And let's start with the big name that all Giants fans love to love. OBJ, hothead extraordinaire, coming off the board, wide receiver three, 11th pick in the first round.
Yes.
You know, according to reports, he was getting a lot of work from the slot at Giants training camp. Since 2014, he's run the majority of his routes, 80% from the outside, but has also produced great results when he's worked inside over the course of his career. I think healthy with Eli, with the help of Saquon, keeping defenses honest on the field, I think it's back to good things for Odell as long as he stays healthy. I mean, he still had good games last year, but I think even better moving forward.
Yeah, listen, probably the past 2 years have been a little disappointing with him with injury and everything else. He's going to have a good year. Like I said, it's going to be the Saquon effect. It's going to open up to allow Eli and his old ass to be able to give the production to Odell that he deserves. Odell's also a very emotional person. They're looking at restructuring his contract. So most people play going into the contract year. I think Odell, if he gets paid, is going to play well because he's going to be happy that he wants to be a New York Giant. If he gets paid what he wants to play, I guarantee this guy's going to go berserk. I have him as my wide receiver 4. I still have Julio over him. I think Julio is going to turn around the touchdown ratio that compared to last year.
Yep.
So I still have Julio over Odell. But again, it's almost like the Zeke David Johnson. If you took Odell as the number 3 or even 2 if you really want to, I'm not going to hate it. He's worth the first round or early second round pick. But I think he's going to have a good year. It's going to be a bounce back year for Odell. So that's it.
Yeah. Odell, great things to come. No hesitation to take him. Arguably the wide receiver 2. We'll talk about Evan Ingram, depending on where you stand. Sterling Shepard coming off the board, wide receiver 44 with the 5th pick in the 10th round.
Yep.
You know, even with Beckham lost for the season, Don Shepard ran 84% of his routes from the slot in 2017. That was the 5th highest rate in the NFL. He finished 5th in the league with 639 receiving yards when lined up inside. And then as a rookie in 2016, he led all NFL receivers in touchdowns from the slot. So I think with a healthy Odell, I think with Eli becoming serviceable, as we're deeming, I think a nice price for Sterling Shepard here at wide receiver 44. I think big things to come for him. I like him more as the second receiving option over Evan Ingram personally.
I disagree.
Okay.
I like Evan Ingram. I think Evan Ingram and Odell will be the reason why Sterling Shepard worth being drafted and would be an okay player. I think he's going to be very inconsistent, which kind of has been Sterling Shepard. Like, you know, even if Sterling Shepard had like 2 good games in a row, you think he's going to come in with that third and he doesn't. I think that's kind of the case. I think it's a very crowded offense now between now Shepard. You got to remember, I mean, not Shepard. Saquon is going to be taking, he's going to be taking a lot of receptions from these guys too. So you got Odell. I think Evan Ingram is the better option and he's going to see more with Eli, which leaves him as kind of like the 4th option. So I think there's going to be weeks where you're going to have a good play from Sterling and there's weeks that you're not. So I think that's going to be very matchup dependent. So pay attention to teams that really don't play hard on the slots versus, and as well as kind of an inconsistency. So Sterling Shepard, I mean, people that are right behind him is DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Kelvin Benjamin, and Cam Meredith. It's a lot of question marks, so I think that's where he should go. But I might even be willing to go with like a DJ Moore, which they've been talking highly about in Carolina, or Calvin Ridley even. So it all depends. But remember, he's to me, he's their 4th option. And how much can Eli do? I think he's going to be revived a little bit, but I don't think to the point where he's going to hit all 4 at all times. So it's going to be pretty inconsistent.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I just, like we said, I think I like him a little more than Evan Ingram, you know, particularly at Ingram's draft price. It's just comes down, I think, preference-based. I think Shepard continues to take that step out of the slot. And I think with Saquon, it's actually better for him, more opportunity. I know he maybe volume-wise, it's not as great, but it may be better looks with keeping that defense a little bit more honest, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't respectfully disagree with you anymore because I believe Evan Ingram, where he's being taken, is actually really great too.
Because
the 5th pick in the 6th round, I believe. Yeah, it's 5th pick in the 6th round, and he's the 6th tight end. And he's going around a lot of uncertainty between that's where some of the core QBs at the drop with Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Don't go for them. There's too much quarterback. Then Crabtree in Baltimore. Julian Edelman that's suspended for 4 games. Tariq Cohen that he's the 2nd RB in Chicago. Even though Walsh likes him a lot, it depends on what your draft strategy is. And then Sammy Watkins, who's in a crowded Kansas City. Kerryon Johnson, who we don't know yet with Detroit. And Tevin Coleman, who's a 2nd RB in Will Fuller, who's a 2nd receiver. I think Evan Ingram being – he's that last tier for that tight end before it drops. I think that's a perfect time to take him.
Okay. So, yeah.
I like Evan Ingram. I think that's perfect value for him. So you can either go Shrek side or Don's. We'll see how that pans out at the end of the season. So – but that's how I feel. I actually like Evan Ingram a lot there.
Fair enough. I think it's way too rich for my blood, but that's preference. Other wide receivers, I don't think we're interested, but Cody Latimer, Roger Lewis, and Hunter Sharp are competing for the third wide receiver spot behind.
What, dude? Get me a Cody Latimer signed jersey over an AB jersey.
There it is. The DLN showing his true colors. Cody Latimer signed jersey. We'll reach out to James.
Auction draft. Get that working for me.
We'll see if we can get the signed Cody Latimer jersey in there. It may only be a league with Don because no one else is going to want to enter.
I'll show up to every draft with that jersey.
But I guess that means you'll win by default. So maybe we'll get you that. Since you can't win the Antonio Brown jersey, Don, we're looking to get you a Cody Latimer
signed jersey.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can swing for
you. Nothing more would make my day.
I sadly believe that, Don. I sadly believe that.
How you doing?
How you doing? There you go. Tight end wise, Don, I mean, we touched on Evan Engram. I mean, do you have anything else you want to add? I think we kind of did it with Sterling Shepard.
We did it.
Done.
How you doing?
All right. So we got one question coming in right now, Don, from Instagram comes in from Jack VD. Says, how much should you trust Tyrod Taylor this season?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yikes.
Watch Hard Knocks on Tuesday, I guess, because... You know, they made Mike Evans look like a stud. I was in actually Shrek. You weren't there though last year for the draft where Mike Evans went like third off the board because I'm not gonna say his name, but he drafted him because he was hard on Hard Knocks. And he's like, dude, looks like a stud. Took him third or fourth overall. So don't trust Hard Knocks. I don't know what Tyrod Taylor. Listen, our quarterbacks is too rich to worry about Tyrod Taylor. I think he'll have the job. But again, who knows? They drafted Baker Mayfield one overall. So who knows? And I think that it's going to be very quick with if Tyrod Taylor has one bad game where it's like, okay, now it's time to put Baker in. So quarterback is way too rich right now to worry about that. Draft yes. someone else.
Yep. Totally agree.
Play yeah. And then play him. And if he's playing, stream him.
Yeah. I mean,
matchups.
I mean, he's coming off the board right now, 11th pick in the 14th round, 25th QB.
Yeah, 25th. He's the last drafted quarterback.
Yeah, literally just has an 80.
Other ones to choose from. Now, listen, I think if he plays a full season, he's going to be much more valuable than Eli at 21 or I think even over Derek Carr or whatever it may be. But again, that's if he plays a full season. We don't know what the Browns game plan is right now. So they drafted a quarterback first overall with Baker Mayfield, and they seem to like him.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's going to be the guy. It's just a matter of, you know, you got John Dorsey down there saying that he is the QB of essentially the future, with Baker Mayfield. But Tyrod Taylor is the QB for the short term. Talk about a few years out, depending on how he plays. I don't know that I buy that. Maybe it's a 1 year stopgap. Fine. But, you know, they spent the first round pick. Yeah, they wanted to get some reps and see some things behind them. But they're going to go to Mayfield at some point. Cleveland will go crazy if they go on a trend of 0 for 10 or 0 for whatever. And Mayfield's not out there on the field. So if you're a Browns fan, just look towards the future. It's not now. And then fantasy wise, Tyrod or Ty God, as we love him, is not relevant at this point either. But Don, yeah. That's going to do it for us here on part one of the NFC East preview with the Cowboys and the Giants. We're coming back at you with part two of the NFC East preview, and we're going to talk about some Eagles and some Redskins football. But for now, I am Nick Shrek. He is the DON, and we are Let's Talk Fantasy Football. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.